Welcome. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. This is the show where brothers-in-law DJ Culp and Brad Coleman talk about stuff from our perspective as men. It's a show for anyone who wants to hear how Christians interact with the world. And don't worry, we're real. We've grown up in church, and we want to share our experiences with you. We'll talk life stuff, church stuff, man stuff, and stuff. Here we go. Greetings, listeners here and there and everywhere, all across the land. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. I am one of your hosts, DJ Culp. As always, here with my beloved brother-in-law, Brad Coleman. Brad, happy Friday.
Thank you.
I had a college professor.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Yeah, I had a college professor who called Friday the day of fried foods. So go, everyone, listeners, go eat fried foods. We're recording on Friday, but I mean, like, whenever, you know, this will drop on Monday, so go eat fried foods in remembrance of Friday. Do what?
I probably just referred to it as the day of fries.
The day of fries. Fries day.
It's Friday.
So, Brad, we have had an outpouring of favorite video games and you know, like on Facebook, our group page, and people who have responded to the people that have been like most influential in their life, you know, is in terms of being a Christian voice. And listeners, it should be no surprise to anyone that Brad made that list multiple times over. So I thought that was pretty cool, Brad, that, you know, you are loved and you are valued. I value you, Brad. I see you. I acknowledge you. I hear you.
It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy to create multiple Facebook accounts. You know, it's pretty easy to do
that's
that.
That's right. Yeah.
Just log in.
That's
tell
funny.
Them you're somebody else.
Oh, that's exactly that, yeah, right.
Guy, he's awesome. No, and I certainly appreciate those compliments, and I'm thankful to the Lord and to all the great men that he's put into my life, and women he's put into my life to help mold me, and iron sharpen iron. So
right.
It's always encouraging, you know, when people acknowledge that you're that to them as well. So
well, Brad,
thank you guys.
I want to ask you a question that actually is going to sort of, it's kind of prime our topic today. So listeners, today we're talking about like just kind of in general church membership, and everything that goes along with that. Maybe not, we won't talk about everything that goes along with that, but you know, I look forward to seeing where our conversation goes. But Brad, to that point, like as a senior pastor, what's like your favorite thing about ministry?
My favorite thing about ministry?
Right. You're going to say Jesus. I know you are.
Is
so go ahead and say Jesus.
Yeah. Well, of course, Jesus.
Jesus, yeah. And he should be, yeah.
Like if it's not Jesus, then I just need to, like, I really love it how people just smile at me. It's great. No,
yeah.
I think one of my favorite parts is sharing the truth with people and seeing the weight drop off of them when, whether it is they're getting saved and they've been forgiven of their sins, or, you know, a lot of times it's a believer who's, for one way or another, has got some not good teaching, and they've believed something that's not biblical, something that's not true about God or about the Christian life or about how they're supposed to do things. And it's really just beat them up, and it's been beating them up for a long time. And just to help them see scripturally, like, this is what God is saying in that scripture, or this is what God is saying in his scripture. So that that idea that you were believing is false. It doesn't line up with the scripture.
Yeah.
And just to see the weight just be lifted off of that person. Now, in fairness, that's going to be a journey. So just, you see the original weight lifted off, but then a lot of times they're going to have to come back to that moment and
Yeah.
reiterate that truth to themselves and re-go through that process. But like, to me, it's one of my favorite things is just to see this weight lifted off of people who are just being burdened down with whatever it is. And I think that's, again, it's one of the beautiful things I think about God's grace and mercy is God wants to lift that weight off of us, that shame off of us. And I've said often recently that shame has a purpose, guilt and shame, it has a purpose, but that's
Yeah.
to for us to repent, to turn from those bad things, to turn to God. And then once we have done that, then shame and guilt should be dissipating. Should be,
Right.
hey, it's, the other, it's just when it's dragging us down, that's not godly. Shame and guilt, when it's continuing to do that, even after we've repented, like that's not coming from God. That's so, yeah, just to help people navigate that.
Yeah. That's cool.
I was like, well, what about you? I mean, again,
I'm
you're
not a
not a
senior
pastor,
pastor. Yeah.
but you do ministry, you're
Yeah.
part of ministry. You're part of the church. So what about you? What is your favorite?
So my favorite part of interacting, as a leader in ministry is having real life conversations that do not deal with theology or doctrine, but like what does the Bible say? But like how do we apply that to our life directly? I love having conversations, open conversations, that are really open-ended. And actually, Brad, very much like the shows that you and I record is very much kind of the way that I prefer to have conversations with people in a church setting, in a ministerial setting. Like what are the actual questions that matter to us? Not that matter to and take this for what it's worth, Brad, because I certainly don't mean to paint you or anybody, any other pastor into a corner, but what are the actual questions that people have that pastors don't? And I know that that's not fair, because I know that you have the same questions that we do. You may ask them differently. You may ask them the same way, but to just a common to a common congregant member that doesn't view Bible study in the same frame of mind,
So,
what kind
yeah.
of questions are they going to ask? And I'll even put it this way, just kind of as a little bit more of a clarifier. Let me finish real quick. That I've had a student in my office before who has said, Dr. Cope, one of the reasons why I love coming to you is I feel that I can ask you questions that I don't think are safe in other contexts. You know what I mean? And again,
Yeah.
I'd really don't, I'm sorry that I seem to be painting you or any other pastor into a box. I don't mean to be doing that, but.
Yeah. Well, I think for me, I think the example that I think about is there's sometimes that I can get in such a mindset where like I'm trying to like just show people like, oh, here's the evidence of the
Yeah.
resurrection. Here's the evidence that Jesus is the Son of God. When sometimes these people are going like, look, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe in the resurrection. But what I want to know is why would Jesus love me? And does he really love me?
Yeah.
even
That's yes.
regardless, of all of the things that I've done, and can I be forgiven? And even sometimes where I may feel like, well, I'm answering that question. Can you, like, well, we've been talking about substitutionary atonement. We've been talking about justification by faith, and all this stuff. Like those, that's your answer. It's like, okay, yeah, those things are great, but can I be forgiven?
Yeah, right. Okay, hang on. Didn't you just hear what I just said?
Oh, well, I mean, in that case, yes.
Yes,
Yes.
the answer is yes. Yeah, so I guess Brad, to that point, let me.
Sometimes I will overcomplicate things from a, from again,
Right.
from like an educational and
Yeah. And I do the
dare call
same thing,
myself a
man. Like,
scholarly standpoint.
yeah, as a professor, I tend to go that way. It's and it's not it's you know, it's not like it's not prideful or it's not pride in me. I mean, it's just the way that I think, and I've been thinking about it so deeply, so often that what I consider to be relatively shallow, when I say like in this context, you're dealing with philosophy of music or music education, pedagogy, stuff like that, what I consider to be relatively shallow thinking, and it's like, well, yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you think that way? May very well be the deepest thought that students have ever had. So yeah, I get that.
Well, and sometimes I prepare myself. Like somebody's like, I got a question for you. And I'm like, okay. And I'm sitting there thinking about like the absolute hardest, like the
Right.
most difficult, like,
You come
gosh, I
in
don't
guns
know.
blazing. You're
Yeah. Like how could, how am I gonna, it is such a hard, and again, then they come up with just this, my dad was a believer, but we had him cremated. Did he go to hell? No.
No.
I mean, like he was a believer, like he belonged to Jesus. Yeah. Then no. Yeah. No.
There,
Those
dude.
like.
There is a. I'm trying to remember the name of the movie. It stars Michael J. Fox. It's not. I want to say it's Doc Hollywood, but I know that Doc Hollywood. What have you ever seen the movie Tombstone?
I've seen parts of it.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever seen
I'm
them.
trying to remember. I really think the movie's called Doc Hollywood.
Pepperoni and cheese, that's what I want on my tombstone.
I don't like Tombstone, but the movie Tombstone is great. But there's a there's a scene in Doc Hollywood where so Michael J. Fox is like a Johns Hopkins trained type surgeon, and he ends up in Podunk Town as a general physician, and every t and like there's a the montage where like all of the cases that he's coming to. Are exactly the same type of thing. Like his medical training has gotten him to the point where he can answer the hardest, most pinpointedly accurate types of questions. And there's a little old lady sitting in front of him, and she says, "I see spots there." And then she moves her head there, and she moves her head again there. And he takes her glasses off and like wipes them down and puts them back on. And she says, "I'm cured." You know,
Yeah, that's
it's
awesome.
the easiest little
Gosh.
thing.
It's
Yeah.
like awesome though that like Jesus and all of his infinite wisdom and like he's God and like he has the ability to just be like, oh no, your glasses are just dirty.
Yeah,
Here
you have
you
spots on them.
go. I'm
Yeah,
not overthinking this.
so for me, one of the things that I love to do, and I think it's just because of the nature of the conversations I find myself being in as someone who isn't a pastor, not to say that you don't, because I have no idea what the daily conversations that you, Brad, or like our pastor at First Baptist, shout out to Josh Singfield, like I don't know what the day-to-day conversations that they have are, but one of the things that I love is to have those conversations like in a very safe and accessible way of just like what are your thoughts? You know, what question do you have? Or you know, one of the things that I love to do in the Bible study that I teach on Sunday evenings over Titus is I'll just simply start out, all right, what in the chapter stuck out to you? And we chase that. You know, like I mean, I don't pretend to have all the answers. Not to say that you do either, you know,
I
but
certainly don't.
yeah, right.
I certainly don't.
But anyways, yeah, that's really my favorite part of
I don't
being in
even have all the
ministry.
questions.
I know, right? So Brad, let's again, that I think that's relatively related to a certain extent. But let's kind of move into church membership. I want to know, I've got a couple questions that are verbatim here. I want to know because you have kind of like under the table in passing mentioned in on the show what your stance or some of your thoughts on church membership are. So Brad, let's start out this. What is your stance on church membership?
So, one, I think we erred along the line when we started calling it membership. Just because, at least in today's time, I think what most people think of when we think of their members, right? Like, if I have a membership to a gym, that means like, here are all of the things that I get, right? I can use the gym and the facilities and all of that. So I'm paying for my benefit. It's my benefit. If I have the Sam's Club membership, it's so that I can have this special privilege of coming in and buying, 8 gallons of mayonnaise,
Which, by
whatever.
the way,
It's
is one of the nastiest things that you can get at Sam's. I love mayo, but to look at that and think everything in that is just mayonnaise.
I think like when we think of membership, typically we are automatically starting to think of what do I get out of this? What do I have to pay to be a part of this, and what do I get? And when I think that again, Jeff Woolen put it this way, church membership is not about special privilege. It's about special responsibility. I think that becomes problematic when we start looking at the church that way. And as a pastor and people who visit or people who have visited, and sometimes like, the responses they'll give me when they stop visiting or whatever. And there's a lot of that mentality of a kind of church shopping instead of looking of God, where do you want me to go serve? Where am I supposed to connect with the body of Christ? It's who has the stuff that I'm looking for, who has, that is going to serve me from that standpoint. And so, and I think that's where too, you get people leaving sometimes the smaller church where maybe they're called to serve. Because they go, oh, well, they don't have, enough kids in their youth program, and we have teenagers, and so, we need to go somewhere, that has a better youth program, and or I don't like the music, so we need to go somewhere where I like the music. And I think that's one, it's somewhat a problematic view of the way we look at church, because again, God has set us up that when we're going to a church, we're supposed to be serving. Like we're serving in a role. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that we have a title necessarily, that we're on a committee necessarily, but it means that we're there at that church for a reason. We're part of that body to be built up, yes, but to be building up the body of Christ together, where iron is sharpening iron. And I think that's where, like, when we look at being disciples of Christ, if we understand, that when we called ourselves, okay, well, I'm a disciple of Christ, I'm a follower of Christ, I'm a learner, right? A disciple is someone who is learning and following and growing. And so I think that now I'm not suggesting we just get rid of the term membership and all that stuff because they're ingrained in our culture. But I think we have to like change the way we look at things as far as membership. Because I've made some people mad in the past. There were people at one point in a church that came up to me and kind of cornered some other people who have been going to the church for years. but who had not become members, right? They were believers. They had followed through in biblical baptism, but for whatever reason, they had not become members of our church.
Yeah.
They were active and all of that. And this person kind of cornered them with me and was like, "Hey, tell them that they need to be a member." And I, my response was, "I'm more concerned that you're a member of his church, that your name is on the Lamb's Book of Life, than that your name is on our roll." Now, I encourage church membership.
Right.
I'm not discouraging that,
Yeah.
because I think some people go that way, but to amplify it like it is one of the ordinances of God, like baptism and the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
And again, I think church membership in one sense is, but not in the way that we want to make it.
Yeah.
Because I think really, if we want to look at it, church membership means that we are having fellowship together with other believers, that we're connected together in that biblical community. Like, I know that some people have argued one way or the other. I don't know that they had church roles way back in the day where they were like, "Okay, oh, you're going to move over to Ephesus? Well, we'll send your letter.
Yeah, right.
Make sure that
I
they
doubt it. Yeah.
send for the letter." And it's like, "Hey,
I mean,
and I don't know,
I would
but
say, Brad, I would say that a point of contention towards your argument would be that Paul never mentioned in any of his letters, you guys really need to clean up your church roles. Like
yeah.
you've got too many people that aren't attending your church anymore that claim that they are. So just go ahead and take them off. I'm pretty sure that Paul would have said something about that.
Yeah. And so I just, for me, like, do I think it's good for you to be a part of a local church? Yes, I think you should be.
Right.
Should you go ahead and be a member? If that's the way that they're looking at it, then yeah, I think you probably should. But again, at the end of the day, where is our emphasis? Because if someone is coming, let me give you, so let's just say person A is coming to church. They are fellowshipping with people. They're talking. They're encouraging people. Oh man, they even start a Bible study at Starbucks with their little group, but they've never become a member. Versus person B over here, who has been a member for 20 years, never talks to anybody,
Yeah.
only comes to the service, runs out the door as soon as it's over, isn't involved in anybody else's life. Like, so you want to tell me that person B is the example that I should follow,
Right.
and then I need to get person A to be more like person B. Well, person A looks more like the church than person B, so I would be more like, maybe we should get person, B to look more like person A,
Yeah.
and maybe stop worrying so much about whether or not they are technically a member of our church.
Yeah. So you're the very first person, Brad, that I've ever talked to.
No, that was Adam.
No. That I've ever talked to? I never
No, you
talked
said that you said you're the very, very first person, and I'm like,
to.
definitely not.
You're the very first person that I've ever spoken to that has at least vocalized that stance. And I think it's a really cool stance to take because
I have lots of unpopular opinions.
yeah, man. Which is one of the reasons why we have our show, like we have a platform. If you don't like it, you can turn it off. It's really easy to just press the square. No, like I really appreciate the way that you're able to vocalize basically the consumeristic view of being a church quote unquote member. And I say quote unquote deliberately because really from that perspective, it really is just it's a generic tag that is looked at more like a country club type of membership, and to that effect, I know I've said it. It's been a long time since I've said it on the show, but my particular view on that is, no, I don't have a membership card, and I don't plan on applying for one. I mean, like I don't need that approval from people. But at the same time, I agree with you that that like being a part of a local church is direly important. And I mean, so, you know this, Brad, that we attend a Southern Baptist church. So if the Southern Baptist Convention says, well, we really need to know how many people attend your church, fine. I don't care. Like, as a matter of fact, my level of care is equal to or less than zero that the Southern Baptist Convention knows. I could care less, or actually I could not care less. But but
One of
like
the two.
one of the two. But I care greatly about, who's in the building, who's a part of the body. All right, so just out of curiosity, as a follow-up to your stance, because obviously I set you up because I knew that you
Yeah,
took
set
that
me up
stance.
good.
But like, I'm curious, man, when did you come across this idea? Like, when did you start having that particular stance on it? And as a caveat, maybe even to throw it in the mix, have you ever been on the other side of your own opinion? Like, have you ever been the consumer?
I think on some level, anytime when we're looking, if we go looking for a church, like if we're, and like we're not going to church or we've left one church and we're looking for another, I think we all on some level have to be careful because we're all going to, just in our humanity, drift toward that consumer model. So I think on that level, like, yeah, I've definitely been guilty. And when did I take that stance? I think it really just started with the way that the things that I was taught growing up in church. One of the things that I remember my dad saying was, if the rapture happened, that there would be some churches that everybody showed up and the preacher got up and preached,
Dang.
even though, again, the church is gone. And so kind of that mentality, I think I took that and went, okay, so it's not about being a part of a local church. It's about being a part of God's church, being a part of Him, that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I know Him and He knows me. And so when you start to look at those things, I think it's just a natural conclusion that you come to. I normally don't to just accept the status quo that this is the way we've always done it. I have always, I think, had that mind, like, I want to know why. Why are we doing this? I'm a very big, rules are made for people, not people are made for rules. Like, I want to know the reason for the rule. Like if there's a law that says there's this island and there's this law that says you can't swim at night. You can swim in the day, but you can't swim at night. And I'm going, okay, well, why is that a
Why?
law? And hey, this guy has this swimming pool and he's swimming at night, and so he gets fined or arrested. And I'm like, well, why is that? Why can't you swim at night? Oh, well, we have these very venomous snakes that are very aggressive, and they're water snakes, and they only bite at night. So we made this law to protect people. Okay, well, that's a great law.
I'm down. I will not get in
So
the
do those snakes get in swimming pools? No, because of the chlorine and stuff, they can't survive in there, so they won't get in there. So he's swimming at night in his swimming pool, which is, because of the way the law is written,
water.
against the law. But the reason for the law is to keep people from getting bit by snakes. So I don't think that he is breaking the heart of that. So I think we ought to either just change the law or let him go or both. And so, like, and again, I know that's a silly analogy, but that's the way my mind thinks. It's like, what is the purpose? Now, we also have to be careful that we don't go in, like, I say this is a caveat, like that we don't go in and just interpret God's law or God's, will or God's way any way that we want to. We have to go in and go, okay, why is God? saying this? Why are we doing this? Why is this important?
Right.
And then sometimes we can go theories. Like, I think bacon is hallelujah food. I think as Christians we can eat bacon, but we don't need to be kosher. I kind of wonder, and again, this is just me blabbering, but I kind of wonder if part of the reason that God was like, hey, you can't eat this, it's unclean, is because, hey, you know what we know about pork right now? You shouldn't be carrying around the desert and eating it. You know, it will very easily, like more than a lot of other meats, and like shellfish as well, right? Kill you if not prepared right or if not kept right. A lot, just a lot more viciously than some of these other meats will. And so, if you don't cook it to a certain point, all of these things that, okay, they didn't know. And what's a guy going to say? Hey, you got to cook it to 165 degrees.
What does that mean? What's the degree
What are
got?
they? Well, you get your therm you know, you get your thermometer.
Now
Your
you, I, yeah,
what?
and
You know
it's gotta
what?
be
Don't eat
Celsius, not
pork.
Fahrenheit.
Yeah, don't eat pork. Now, again, I'm not saying that's exactly the reason, so people don't crucify me. That's in my that just my brain going, okay. But I think too, sometimes we get to this fact, it's like, oh, like I'm not supposed to ask or question God. I'm like, I'm not questioning God in the sense that some people, like, I'm not like, wow, God, can't believe you did that. I mean, don't get me wrong, sometimes I do. I have to have his correction. But I mean, oftentimes just like, it's the kid going, why? And one of the things that I used to say, or still do with our kids, but especially when they're younger, if my children are asking why because they want to know why, I would answer. If my children are asking why, so that they can try to figure out how to
A way
argue
around it, yeah.
or way around what I've told them to do, then a lot of times I'm like, I'm not giving you an answer, because that's, you really don't
Because
want an answer.
I said so. That's
You're
right.
looking for a loophole, So I think we've got to look at those dynamics and.
Well, I have had a conversation, and listeners, I don't know if you've ever had a direct conversation with someone that has said something like this. But I remember having a conversation with someone years ago at a different church that we attended. She had been there like her whole life, and she said, basically, we had just gotten a new pastor, and if our new pastor doesn't do this or this or this, I may have to go up to him and say, I've been a member at this church for 20 some odd years. And I remember thinking, I don't think that's how that works. And it she was not being flippant. This was one of these serious
Oh no,
conversation
she was
things.
not.
No.
And one of the things that's, in some ways, I'll say, got myself in trouble, certainly not made me favorable in some people's eyes at some point, is that kind of thing. Well, they've been a member for this long, or they were a I forget the term for it, because it doesn't matter to me, like a founding member type of
Charter,
thing.
yeah.
Charter, yeah. I was
Charter
like, I
member, yeah.
didn't like they were a charter member. I mean, because what I want to say is I don't care.
Yeah, right.
Because like that's not the gospel. Like
Or so they were a
that
charter
is
member
worldliness. Like that is the
and
mindset of that is
yeah.
the mindset of just I think the conversation that the apostles are having about who's the greatest.
Who gets
And Jesus
who
goes,
gets to sit at the right hand?
you're looking at these things like the Gentiles are looking, and that's the wrong way to look about it. I'm not saying that we don't need to have respect for, oh, hey, this family, but again, the question is not how long have they been here? When Paul is talking about like helping the widows, right? The questions are, has she washed the saints' feet? So for me, it's like, come to me with that. This person is like, they are so like loving to everyone. They're serving everyone and all of this. Let's look at that over top of, well, they've been here for 40 years. I mean, and maybe I should even say this. Sometimes I want to be like, well, maybe that's the problem.
Dude, go, Brad. This is a safe space, Brad.
Or
No,
not,
like,
yeah.
I mean, there have been so many times that I have wanted to say, I don't care, just leave.
Well, I think
Like,
I'm, yeah.
obviously, yes, I know that you can't say that.
Well, I think more and more though that I have to grow and that I have to be lovingly bold, right?
Right.
I can't just flippantly say stuff, or then I'm going to be just as guilty, just in another sense,
Right.
right? But what I have to do, I think, and what we need to do is lovingly go to, like, hey, let's go to James. And let's see what, James chapter 2.
Gosh, dude, James is
It,
such a
my dear brothers
tough
and
book.
sisters, first one, my dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others?
Oh, dude. Oh, dang.
That's you know whose word that like that's the Bible. That's not my opinion.
Yeah, right.
That's the Bible. So what does that say? That means if I favor someone who's been there because they're a charter member or they've been there for 20 years over a new believer who's come in, then I'm sinning. I mean, if I'm reading the right, I mean, like James, like he just pulls it back, like
Yeah, he does.
pulls
I
it,
do.
like there's,
I love James. James is like a literary sledgehammer.
yeah,
You know what I mean?
how can you claim to even belong to
Yeah,
Jesus?
right.
If
Yeah.
that's the way you are,
I
I'm
mean,
like,
and
okay, that's probably a little harsher than what I would have come at you with. So,
DJ's characterization is the passively aggressive, sarcastic guy who raises his hand and says, "Excuse me, I don't understand how this is possible." It's as a matter of fact, like logically, you can't get there.
yeah.
I know you're standing there you are, and you're talking to me, but all I hear is blah, 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 and it doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
But I have to, like, on the other side of the equation, I have to also go, I can't then with that same thing go, well, I've been a pastor for, 15 years.
Yeah.
So that just see that look how much weight that gives me.
Yeah.
No,
All
because
right.
we're looking for truth.
So let me ask you this then, Brad. Let's change gears here because like we could make this a venting session, on I can
Right, and I
say it.
don't
I
want to
could
do that because
Yeah,
I don't
right.
want
Yeah,
that to be the
but
heart.
yeah. So I thought up another question about church membership. So Brad, from your experience as a senior pastor, maybe even as a youth minister, why do you think, or why do you feel that people refer to church as home? I have my own reason
As
that,
home.
like, not like I'm going home, but it's my home church. It is
Oh,
when
okay.
I'm at church, I'm at home. That kind of a mentality. Again, I've got my own reason that was very, very foreign to Shara, but that's because of how I grew up. But I wanted to know what you had to say.
So, and I have no idea where you're going. I mean, I on that same level, I think that can be a good thing. But there's some things we got to be careful about. Like, because I definitely will, like, with the acknowledgement of, look, it's not my church, it's Christ's church, right? It belongs to Jesus. If it's a church, it's his. But yet I invite people to my church because that's where I go. So I think when we are looking at that, like, look, this is where I belong. Right. And if home is where I belong, I like the little signs that say, a house isn't a home, like just in and of itself. Like it, but it's the family that's there is what makes it a home. So I
Right.
think when I think about that with the church is like, I want people to be like, oh yeah, this is my home church and I love our church and all of this kind of thing. But I think it's because it needs to be that place where I belong, place where I'm corrected when I need to be,
Right.
where I'm encouraged or I'm built up, a place where I know that if someone's correcting me, that it's because I need corrected, or at least because of their heart, they think I do, you
Right.
know, kind of deal. And so I'm going to take that as it's a positive. But I think we need to not forget that it belongs to Jesus,
Yeah.
because, you know, it's my house. I want to do things my way. I've said that, right? I said, I have kids. I have teenagers. As long as you're under my roof, this is my house.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to do that. Or yes, that's where we're going to put the TV. I don't care. You know
That's right.
what you think. And I
Yeah,
think when
yeah,
we get
yeah.
that, when we slide into that with church membership, like, no, you can't change the carpets or you can't do this, then it becomes problematic. So we need to take ownership while at the same time realizing that our ownership's actually a stewardship. We don't actually own it. It's not really
Right.
ours.
Yeah.
And be better than the steward of Gondor. And don't be so gross when you eat tomatoes. It's the worst part of that
The
movie. It's like,
throne of
what?
Gondor is mine.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well,
So,
but is it?
yeah, is it really? I don't think it is. I grew up in not just a pastor's home, but I grew up like not around grandparents. Or extended family for that matter. Like not just grandparents, but I mean cousins, aunts, uncles, like everybody was far enough from home that I did not see them on a regular basis.
And I
And
grew up with the
actually,
opposite,
right.
like for the most part, like
And
just like the
so,
direct opposite.
and Sharon did too, you know that. So to us, like when we got married, how we both viewed church was quite different. To her, and I mean I'm gonna walk carefully here because I don't want to speak for her, but to her, it wasn't a church family. It was the place that you go on Sunday. And there are people there that you know, but it wasn't a church family. Like to her, family meant something different. To me, family, like to me, church was my extended family because I didn't have grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, whatever. And so to me, church home meant something very, very different and very identifiable, if that makes sense, like an identifier. And maybe to a fault to a certain extent. And I think for both of us, we had views that were so far apart that it was actually healthy that we both began to bring our definitions together and meet in the middle. Like, you know, that whole marriage compromise thing. But like it has since become far more of a family for her and far less of an identifier for me. So like while you were talking about church membership and people, you know, I've been here this long or that long. I mean, I think that there's a lot to be said in terms of, you know, a person that has been at a church for 40 years and has been a part of that particular church place. I won't even call it a building, but that church body. That I think there's something to be said for somebody that has helped suffer through just stuff, right? But for me, the reason I called it church home is because I felt at home in church when I actually wasn't at home. Because again, I didn't have that grandparents' home or an uncle's home or something like that that I could retreat to. And so for me, growing up, church was like the church membership, church body was very much a second place of, as you mentioned, belonging. But while you were talking about church membership, I began to realize now, I mean, I love the church that we attend deeply, deeply, deeply. But like, if God were to call us somewhere else, okay, Like, there's another church that we'll end up going to. You know, it's not like, but we belong here. This goes back to what you were saying, like, no, I belong to the body of Christ. And so if the body, if where I'm at, God is literally calling me to attend this particular church body or be a part of this particular church body, so be it. But if we were to move, or if for whatever reason, I can't think of any because this hasn't happened to us, but if for whatever reason, God, we begin to feel the call to another church, I mean, okay, fine. Like it's just another group of people that just so happen to be meeting somewhere else that are still a part of the body of God.
Right. So we have to get a kingdom mindset, right? A kingdom mindset. So that if I find out that you are involved in, well, teaching a Bible study, right? Then that's encouraging to me, and it should be encouraging to me. Like, that's awesome. Instead of being like, well, I can't believe DJ doesn't move to St. Louis and come to our church and lead a Bible study there.
Yeah, right. How
Because, you
selfish can
know,
you be, Brad?
yeah. And so I think that mentality is like when we look at the church as the kingdom, right? We rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. Right? So when something great happens, hey, this church was on the brinks of closing, but like God did a work in there, and now like people are getting saved, and you know the community is changing and all that. We go, that's amazing. Hallelujah. Versus, oh, I can't believe it's not happening here. Or, hey, like, as a pastor, if you are a member at my church, right? Which is, again, it's God's church. It's our local church. So it's your church, my church, God's church. Overall, again, belongs to Jesus. And you're going down the road and you're helping in this ministry that they have. You know, on a Saturday, I'm not mad at you. And you can come and talk to me about it. Hey, Pastor, we fed, you know, 400 people. That's amazing. Now, my mindset doesn't need to be, well, I can't believe, you know, did you wear your First Baptist Murphy shirt?
Did people really know who you belong to?
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah. Right, because you belong to Jesus and you're doing kingdom work.
That's right.
Now, like, so now if that's all of the ministry, right? If you're always going down this other church and you're not doing any ministry here at our church, you're doing just ministry down at their church all the time and all of that, and you're doing Bible studies at their church, then maybe I'm gonna suggest not because I don't want you, but well, maybe that is where God is calling you to serve, you know. But no, we need to be working together. We got to be kingdom mindset, and we've got to stop. And I understand it. I do. As a pastor who, you know what, my family's livelihood is supported by the local church. Right? So like the bills get paid by support from the local church, right? I buy groceries from support of the local church because it is their call to support me and my family as a minister of the gospel. So when attendance is down, when tithes are down, then yeah, I understand the mindset of, oh, well, you know, Jim's going over there to help this big nice church out with all of these big nice programs, and Jim's just going to end up going to church over there, and that's going to be that much less support. I'm not saying those things don't cross my mind, but I have to combat those things and go, you know what? It's God's kingdom, and He's the one that owns the cattle of a thousand hills, and He's the one that His sufficiency, His provision. It's not my job to go try to be like, all right, I need to make sure we have enough members who are tithing enough so that all of this, well, no, now I'm worried about things that I'm not worried about the sharing of the gospel.
Right.
And Lord, forgive me if I ever get mad at somebody else for going somewhere else and sharing the gospel.
Right.
Like, how
Like what
dare
I,
me?
yeah, what I was about to say was, Jim that you were talking about, he's still going to church. Like, the alternative isn't a great one. I mean, I and like I don't, I, for, you know, listeners, if you are ones that, if you're someone that is working, and Sundays are a major work day just because of the nature of your job, like, I'm not talking about those particular types of scenarios, right? I mean, like, if someone moves from one church to the next but is still attending church, I mean, shouldn't we be grateful for that? And like, again, it almost, I know for me, it kind of sounds like, well, DJ, maybe you've not ever had somebody leave the church, or maybe you've not been directly affected. Actually, I'm a pastor's kid. I have been very, very directly affected. And growing up, not as a kid, but as into adulthood, I have seen and have heard, sometimes legitimate reasons and sometimes extremely petty reasons that people have changed churches. Where I think the line that people either don't draw or just refuse to draw is, but are you okay that they are still Christians and attending church, or are you offended that now they're not hanging out with you on Sunday morning? Like, to me, that's a big difference.
Well, and again, if there's a hospitality ministry, right? And you're doing that at your church, and you're serving, that's awesome. And you're good at that, because there's a smaller church where they need some help, and you're going down and helping them on weekends, and you're giving, your Saturdays up to go help that ministry. That's awesome. That's not like I, you don't need to be worried that, not if I'm your pastor, you don't need to be worried that I'm going to get upset about that. No, I'm going to celebrate that. I want to know that. That's, do they need more help?
Yeah,
Do
that's
we need
exactly
to,
right.
can we get some other people like involved as well? Because it's kingdom.
And one of the things this would be the last thing we say. I mean, we're at time. But when Sharon and I got married, the church that her family was attending in Western Kentucky on Thanksgiving Day would, some people from just various churches around the community would get together, and they would serve the community, just a Thanksgiving meal. And I'm just going to be transparent. Yes, listeners, you're right. Whenever I say this, it is going to be extremely petty. Shame on me. But I mean, it was a reality at the time. I remember thinking, so, like, it's not your church that's doing it, but you're going to another church doing this. And I remember thinking during that whole experience, DJ, dude, shut your mouth. Like, what is the problem here? Oh, it's me. That's the problem. Got it. Because this it's the territory. It's the issue of territorial lines. So, yeah. So, listeners, we're gonna call that a wrap. We thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's a I we understand Brad and I fully understand that this can be a touchy subject, and some of you may have had your toes stepped on. And if you're still listening, and if you had your toes stepped on and you're just like, I'm gonna finish it out, we thank you. Thank you very much for hanging out all the way to the end. But we do know that this can be, a really touchy subject. But remember, really, all of this is for the glory of God. Sometimes, listeners, I don't even fully understand, like, the vast definition of what that fully means.
Yeah.
So, I just know that that is the truth. And sometimes I just kind of hang on and, okay, well, God, you say this and I believe it. So there it is. You can, if you're watching this on YouTube, right there, see my finger right there. You can subscribe and like the video, subscribe to our YouTube channel. But if you're listening via podcast, rate and review us. Subscribe to the show so that you know when our shows drop. We've got a Facebook group page. We have an Instagram. There's a bunch of different ways you can get in contact with us. We have an email, menchurchstuff@gmail.com. Give us an email. Let us know what you think about some of our shows and our ideas, our thoughts. We will accept complaints. We won't pass them off to the HR department because there's nobody staffing it right now. But yeah, let us know what you think. Yeah. So we hope that you tune in next week. Beyond that, Brad, I love you, buddy.
Love you too.
Listeners, we love you, and we will catch you next time.
Insert clever goodbye.
Insert clever goodbye.